call the meeting of the Public Works Capital Projects and Transportation Committee for June 10th, 2024 to order. And if we could begin with the call of the roll.
Mm-hmm. Chair Nolan?
Here.
Deputy Chair Litz?
Here.
Legislator Donaldson?
Here.
Legislator Kovacs?
Here.
Legislator McCullough?
Here.
You have quorum.
Thank you very much. Welcome to everyone who is here and to people who may be watching remotely. We've had a request to move resolutions 319 and 320, that'd be number 9 and number 10 on the printed agenda, to the top of the agenda. Is there any objection to that from anyone else? All right, let's do that then. Resolution number 319. Oh, wait, before we do that, let's do the meeting minutes from the May 6th meeting. Is there a motion? Motion to accept the minutes from Legislator McCullough. A second.
Okay.
Legislator Litz. Any discussion? Any corrections or amendments? All in favor of approving the minutes as submitted?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Great. So now let's go to resolution 219. 319. Amending capital project number 607, Government Operations Center, amending the 2024 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works, Buildings and Grounds. And Jamie, would you like to give us a little background?
Sure. These two work together. These are the contract amendment for Urban Architects for the Government Operations Center. This is to get us to 100% of design drawings. Also, as we discussed in the law enforcement meeting, we did another deep dive into the Golden Hill property. Remember, that was pretty high up on the rankings. Again, looking at where we were at with Paradise Lane, looking at what we were looking at, the environmental cleanup work that had to be done, really going back to Golden Hill to say, would that be an option? So the architect firm and the consultants did a really deep dive into Golden Hill to see if that could have been an option for us. So part of this work was to cover that expense. Dennis, anything else you want to add?
So that work has already been done?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And now we're amending the contract so that the
it's partially that, and then it's a partial. The rest of it is to get going forward, so includes construction management. They're also going to stay with us through all the bid docs and bid preparation and RFP review, and also includes some value engineering work.
Any questions? Yes, Legislator Litz.
I am going to abstain from both 319 and 20 because of employment, but I would like to state that I should be removed as a sponsor on both of those. I'm going to abstain. I don't know why I should be removed as a sponsor.
Yes. The sponsoring counts as doing something, and you're abstaining and not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense. All right. Any questions from any of the other members of the committee? All right. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And any abstentions? One abstention. Legislator Litz. Resolution number 320, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $571,650 entered into by the County Urban Architects PLLC, Department of Public Works. This is the contract for the resolution we just passed. It is 100% county funded. Any additional information or considerations? Any questions from members of the committee who are not recused? All those in favor?
A motion.
Oh, we need a motion. Legislator McCullough, seconded by Legislator Kovacs. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Legislator Litz abstains. So those both pass. 4 in favor, no opposed, and 1 abstention. Thank you. So let's go back to the top of the agenda. We have resolution number 272, adopting and issuing a negative declaration under 6 NYCRR, Part 617, State Environmental Quality Review Act, SEQR, by the Ulster County Legislature for the construction of a public safety radio tower and appurtenances to be located at Pitcairn Estates, Mountain Road, SBL 37.1-5-12.412, Town of Olive, New York, Department of Emergency Services. And this is exactly what it says. Director of Planning.
I can speak to it.
Dennis Doyle.
Wrote the state deck. So, yes, this is literally exactly what it says. It's issued a state deck under the state of RFU Act. We work extensively with the town. We also have agreements with the town with respect to balancing of public interest tests that we're not going to go through the zoning. We have limited immunity from their zoning. This avows that the county has taken a hard look at the environmental impacts associated with that. We've done our CEQA findings, we've done our NEPA findings, we've worked with SHPO, we've done the drawings with respect to archaeological and historic work up there. So we're fairly confident that this is a well-reasoned native declaration.
Any questions from the members of the committee? Legislator Kovacs.
Mr. George, does this usually go through the planning board at the local level?
We do something called a balance of public interest test on the Monroe case. So in this instance, the county declared itself by a prior resolution to be lead agency. The town agreed with that. And as part of the balance of public interest test, the town board took the responsibility for meeting the balance of public interest test. So the only thing that we've done with respect to that is indicate to them is as we continue to move forward, we keep the planning board involved. We have done that so that the planning board has been involved, but we haven't sought site plan or special permit approval from them.
Understood, but the planning board at the town level is familiar.
Yeah,
and
absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you.
I moved it.
Moved by Legislator Litz for adoption and seconded by Legislator Donaldson. I strongly support this. I've heard from members of the town that they strongly support it. But there are some typos and just places still not completed in the seeker determination.
I would be more than welcome. The fact that my proofreader was out, I'd be
okay.
More than welcome to, for any typos that you see, Kathy, I'd be more than welcome to make the necessary changes so that when we send it out, it goes out as that.
Yeah, it's just the tiniest things,
yeah.
But we can clean it up a little bit. So we'll do that separately. I didn't get it completed to give to you ahead
that.
Of time.
Much appreciated, by
yeah.
The way.
Yeah. So it's the resolution has been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? It's adopted unanimously. Resolution number 274, amending capital project number 574, UCAP, phase 2.1, rooftop solar installation, amending the 2024 capital fund budget, Department of Environment. So this is increasing the funding for this project. We had resolutions dealing with this last month. Is there anything further you would like to add, Deputy Director Laval, Deputy Executive Laval, or Director of Environment, Eugene Europa?
The committee received backup information.
Is there a motion to approve this resolution?
I'll move.
Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator McCullough. And I would make the motion that we amend the language in the same way we did resolution number 278 to add the words and municipalities after tax exempt in the description of those who are qualified to apply. Is there a second?
Yeah, wasn't that written in the backup?
No,
what I read, I saw it bolded.
It's in the backup, but I don't think it's in the resolution. So the resolution, just like the one, just like 278 was last month when it came to us, says...
That's what I read was the resolution.
Is it already amended?
I think it should have been, the language should have been mirrored in, I believe at the last committee that was amended,
mm-hmm.
With that language. The language also should have been amended into
78.
Is that what you're
saying?
That's what I was hoping to see.
I can print out updated versions.
Oh, yeah, maybe the version I was looking at just hadn't had that.
That's 274 and 276?
Yeah, 278 already has it, and 276, I don't think, mentions it. But 274 mentioned it, and in the version I had, it just said, whereas under the Federal Inflation Reduction Act of 2022, clean electricity production tax credit, tax-exempt organizations may qualify for a direct pay incentive. And it should say tax-exempt organizations and municipalities may qualify.
Are we tax-exempt?
Pardon me?
Aren't we tax-exempt?
I don't think we're tax-exempt in the way this is using that term, as a 501c3 organization. So what we decided last month was just to add the word and municipalities as a amendment, which is what I'm proposing.
I'll make a motion that we amend it.
Motion made by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator Donaldson. Was that, so this would just mirror the other language. On the amendment, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? So the amendment passes unanimously. And on the resolution as amended, is motion by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator McDonald. It's too much for me here tonight. Seconded by Legislator McCullough. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? So that passes unanimously as amended.
Just have to check off four.
Resolution number 276, amending Capital Project 568, UCAT Phase 2.2, Electric Bus Charging Infrastructure Project, amending the 2024 Capital Fund Budget, Department of Public Transportation, Ulster County Area Transit. And is there anybody who wants to say anything about this?
I'll make a motion that we amend it with similar language as we did in Resolution 274.
Okay. Let's find out where that would go.
Is it in the last row?
Yeah. They don't mention the funding sources, so I don't think we need this amendment. But thank you. Would you like to make a motion to adopt?
Yes.
So moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator Kovacs. This is increasing the funding to get the power cabinets and the overhead ceiling mounts for these electric bus fleets and an increased amount of solar installation and a generator. There will be a bond required. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Resolution 276 passes unanimously. Resolution number 278, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with the Power Authority of New York, Electric Bus Charging Infrastructure Project Phase 2, Departments of the Environment and Public Transportation, Ulster County Area Transit. So this is the part of this for the rooftop solar.
So moved.
Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator McCullough. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That passes unanimously. Resolution number 280, amending Capital Project number 541, Sooner Ulster Facilities Equipment, amending the 2024 Capital Fund Budget, SUNY Ulster. And this is facilities equipment, some vans, a boom lift, electric utility vehicles, and the $250,000 cost divided equally between state and Ulster County. Is there a motion? Legislator Kovacs, seconded by Legislator Litz.
I'll second it. Where did you find the list as to what type and number?
Yeah, it's in the supporting materials, I think. Do you want more details on that? I can read you what
we copied out. It wasn't in the supporting documentation I had. That's why I asked.
It may have come in later. I was provided that it would be two student services vans, which are 12 passengers or larger, one all-terrain boom lift, two electric utility vehicles. And I don't know for sure that that's a complete list, but it sounds like it's going to be pretty nearly
two electric vehicles and two non-electric vehicles.
Two electric vans and two electric utility vehicles that would not be for passengers, I guess.
You said the vans were electric?
No, doesn't specify. You're right.
Okay.
Good. All right. Who was the motion? Was that Legislator Kovacs and seconded by Legislator Litz?
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Resolution 280 passes unanimously. Resolution 282, amending capital project number 546 SUNY Ulster technology upgrade, amending the 2024 to 2029 capital project fund for SUNY Ulster. And that is $200,000 divided equally between New York State and Ulster County would also require a bond. Is there a motion? Moved by Legislator McCullough. Seconded by Legislator Litz. All in favor?
Okay. Does it say what type of equipment it is?
No.
Robotic or AI or IT? Any other acronyms I can come up
with? I thought it was hardware, but I don't know for sure.
They've done these in the past. I've read their, I don't know what this is about specifically, but generally when they've done these in the past, the technology program, it's literally upgrading the computers that run out, they run out of time, similar to what the county does, but I don't know that for this particular resolution, but that's generally what they've done.
We can get that before, this will probably come in from the Ways and Means.
That'd be fine.
Would you make a note to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Resolution 282 passes unanimously. Resolution 284, amending capital project number 624 for SUNY Ulster Children's Center renovations, amending the 2024 capital fund budget. And this was described at our meeting last month. It's the exterior envelope receiving renovations totaling $1.2 million divided equally between the state and Ulster County. Is there a motion?
I'll move.
Legislator Litz and seconded by Legislator Donaldson. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Resolution 284 passes unanimously. Resolution number 286, establishing capital project number 701 for SUNY Ulster minor critical maintenance, amending the 2024-2029 capital fund project fund for SUNY Ulster. And again, this was discussed last month, this the combination of what they consider minor but critical maintenance projects. So low-ish dollar values that are now combined into this one fund so that they can get, so that they're able to pull down New York State funding for it.
Did they give us any example?
They did, but I didn't write them down for this month. Does anybody remember from last month? They seemed reasonable to me at the time. We can have the list sent around again.
Usually, don't we have somebody from SUNY here?
We usually do. I do not know why we do not have someone today.
We'll show up if we don't pass any of the resolutions until they come.
Well, they generally are here. They generally are here, and they did describe these resolutions in more detail last month. I felt comfortable moving ahead. Did we already move this? No. Is there a motion? Legislator McCullough, is there a second? I'll second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution 286 passes unanimously. We already addressed resolution number 319 and resolution 320. Resolution number 321, approving the execution of a contract amendment of $3,950, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into the county Tectonic Engineering Consultants, Geologists, and Land Surveyors, VPC, for the Department of Emergency Services. And this is expanding the scope of services for the additional site in Highland for the public safety tower. Does anybody want to say anything further about this? Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator Donaldson. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Resolution 321 passes unanimously. Resolution number 322, approving the execution of a contract for $154,350 entered into by the county Tectonic Engineering Consultants, Geologists, and Land Surveyors, DPC, Department of Emergency Services. And this is the contract for a new radio tower at 1915 Lucas Avenue in Cottekill at the Roundout Municipal Center. And this is 100% state funding. The prior one was as well.
So yeah, if there's any questions, this is literally what ended up happening here is we, just so you know, that these things actually tie together. The kind of contract expansion you did before, Taconic is the engineering firm that's doing feasibility studies for various tower locations throughout the county. As we look and we discount some locations, we add locations. This location in the town of Rosendale is located at the municipal building in the town of Rosendale. The legislature passed a resolution declaring itself lead agency. We also have resolutions from both the town of Marbletown and the town of Rosendale, since they're co-owners of that facility, to allow us access to the facility to do design work. We've done an initial feasibility study, so this is actually the detailed design that would produce bid documents and allow us to go to bid.
What CNS was doing that?
CNS was the firm that worked in Saugerties, and CNS was the firm that was working on Tonchi. The feasibility stuff was awarded to a different contractor, and they bid we did an expression of interest letter between the two qualified contractors, which was CNS and Taconic. Taconic was substantially cheaper than CNS with respect to this, and they had done the initial feasibility study, so we went with Taconic.
Did we have a motion on this? Not yet.
Yeah, I moved.
Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator Kovacs. And any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Resolution number 322 passes unanimously. Resolution number 326, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a lease agreement with 83 South Putt Corners Road Holding Company, Inc. for office space for the county's probation department, Department of Public Works, Buildings and Grounds. And this is a lease of 1,084 square feet of office space, $29 a square foot, beginning in July and running for 5 years.
I'll move it.
Moved by Legislator Litz.
I'll second.
Seconded by Legislator Donaldson. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Resolution number 326 passes unanimously. Resolution number 327, amending the 2024 Ulster County budget, CHIPS, Paid New York, EWR, POP funding adjustment, Department of Public Works, Highways and Bridges.
I will move that.
Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator Donaldson. This account that amends the budget to account for a little over $2 million in additional state CHIPS funding. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Resolution number 328, establishing capital project number 699, Beaverkill Road Embankment Stabilization Project, Town of Hardenburg, amending the 2024 Capital Fund Budget, Department of Public Works, Highways and Bridges. And this is maintaining and repairing the Beaverkill Road Embankment with some slope stabilization nails. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about it? We can get it moved? Yes.
Who's the designer?
Went through our engineering division. So they did some initial design, they did some initial assessments, and they just had a name change.
Yeah, it used to be GSI.
Okay.
So they'll come in and they actually have their own engineers.
So, okay. Soil mailing.
So we're not doing it, that's good. Okay, I'll move it.
Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator McDonald.
McCullough.
But McCullough. Thank you.
Name change.
Brain change is what I see. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution number 328 passes unanimously. Resolution number 330, establishing capital project number 697, purchase of county fleet vehicles, amending the 2024 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works, Central Garage. And this is a total of 23 vehicles, 14 for the Sheriff's Office, Criminal Division, 7 for the Department of Social Services, and 2 vehicles for the District Attorney's Office, to a total of $1,790,000. Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator Donaldson. Any other discussion?
No, we had plenty of discussion last month.
And this was also discussed in the Fleet Management Review Committee. It was determined that these vehicles would be replacing other vehicles, and there were not any that were take-home vehicles. Is that correct?
In this list, I believe the there is a take-home vehicle.
There is a take-home vehicle, and that would be?
The new vehicle for the DA in the backup replacement plan. As requested by the DA.
All right. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution number 330 passes unanimously. Resolution number 332, establishing capital project number 698, purchase of highway equipment, amending the 2024 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works, highways, and bridges. Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator McCullough. This is the same equipment, just the authorizing the purchase of it, the contract for it?
No, this is heavy highway. The last ones were from the pool, and this is actual graders, trucks,
fleet vehicles.
Is the same dollar amount in each case?
Yeah.
Double check the map.
Yeah.
Weird how things happen. Like.
Okay. All right, so if we're, you know, if we're putting that much towards these vehicles, I think the highway department should have their heavy equipment in equal measure. Sounds fine to me. So this has been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution number 332 passes unanimously. Resolution number 334, establishing capital project number 700, security, fire alarm, and access control upgrades, amending the 2024 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works, Buildings and Grounds. This is minor upgrades to the security system at 100 Development Court and a system-wide monitoring program.
Yeah, so we're doing a county-wide security systems. This capital is for DSS. It's a major overhaul. It's basically all the systems inside of DSS. Intrusion, burglar, fire, cameras. That's what we need. Access control.
And it's been a while since we did this, it sounds like?
Quite a few years.
Many years. Is there a motion?
I'll move.
Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator McCullough. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution number 334 passes unanimously. Resolution number 336, approving the execution of a contract for $362,064.43 entered into by the county with Securitas Technology Corporation, Department of Public Works. This is the company that will do that, those system upgrades.
Correct.
And this contract will run through February of 2024. Any discussion or questions? 2025. Right. Wouldn't be very long if it was February this year.
You have to pay them. It's completed already.
That's right. Did we get this moved?
Nice.
Is there?
I'll move.
All right. Actually, Legislator McCullough had his hands up first, so Legislator Litz will second.
He had two hands up.
Motion.
I'm gonna say that Legislator McCullough moved this one.
Thank you.
Seconded by Legislator Litz. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Resolution number 336 passes unanimously. Resolution number 337, approving the execution of a contract for $1,024 $1,024,000 entered into by the County Greenman Peterson Inc., also known as GPI, Department of Public Works. And this is the replacement of the Hurley Mountain Road Bridge in the town of Marbletown. Yep, yeah, go ahead.
Didn't mean to interrupt
you. It's 47% federally funded, 53% county, and a contract running through January 31st, 2028. Is there a motion?
That doesn't sound.
No, it's in.
Yes.
85%. Yeah. 85% federal agency project, and this capital was established last month. This is the contract.
Right. All right.
Just have those
clarifications?
Comment.
Yeah.
You have to remove me as a sponsor.
Yes, if we can remove Legislator Litz. And I don't think it has to be sponsored by more than one sponsor, does it?
That should be fine.
Okay, so it should be fine. I'll just serve as the sponsor there. Is there a motion from someone who's not recused? Legislator Kovacs moves it. Legislator McCullough seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? One abstention. So resolution number 337 passes. 4 in favor, 0 opposed, and 1 abstention. Resolution number 338. Approving the execution of a contract amendment for $80,773.40 entered into by the County Peak Power Systems Department of Public Works. Do you want to talk about this resolution for us?
A contract amendment for our generator company. It does all of our service and maintenance for generators.
This is an extension, right?
Extension.
Yeah, I'll move it.
Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator Donaldson. These are primarily natural gas powered generators
and diesel.
And
diesel and natural gas.
And do we have a plan in place whereby they switch from diesel to natural gas, methane at some point?
If we can, we do switch them to natural gas. We have some areas that we can't.
And what would be the reasoning that you couldn't?
No natural gas coming in.
Oh, so you only use it when it's piped?
Yeah.
Yes, because it's a backup generator. Yes.
Cell powers, some of the generators are run on propane.
Right.
But natural gas isn't available.
I was noticing that there was one resolution for propane, and propane is less good for the environment than methane in terms of burning it. Mm-hmm. And they both come from fracking, so they're both not good for the environment, but propane has 3 carbons and methane has 1, and so methane burns a little cleaner. So sometimes propane is put forward as though it's cleaner, but it as far as I understand it, is not. So that's one thing. I think switching to natural gas would be good where we can. But also it might be worth looking at whether any of these sites could have electric power generation as a backup source. Be something that your department can maybe coordinate with the
battery
environment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can have a solar system, charge a battery, and have a battery backup system.
I think we're generally looking at the ability to do that as an option, but depending on the duration that we want to plan for
of an outage.
Then that's one of the things, the considerations that also.
It might be worth looking at whether having redundancy at some of these places, because the electric might work almost all the time, and if we already have a combustion backup source there.
For example, for the GOC, that's one of the things evaluated is a battery backup system. However, in that case, we probably still end up with a tertiary.
Yeah, the notion that fossil fuel and a combustion engine will be your security there was undercut by the storms Irene and Lee, which wiped out roads out where I live, and we couldn't get fuel in for the generators that people had, but people who had electric solar systems with batteries were fine, and they were back with power within 8 hours. So just to say that some of our notions about what is the most secure or not, and having redundancy and even triple redundancy at a government operations center makes sense to me for that reason.
Outage. Mm-hmm. During the ice storm, there were some problems with battery backup that was tied to solar panels. Again, the nature of the storm that you're trying to create the backup for. But I think, again, the redundancy in the system and kind of having a hierarchy of what you're using and what. Primarily, you're using your fossil-free sources as your preference.
Yes. Yes. So this is to do the preventive maintenance and repairs. Did we have this moved and seconded? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution number 339, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $29,330, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into the county with Ally Moore, Inc., DPA Pestmaster Services. This is an extension of the existing contract for pest control services for the county. Is there a motion?
I'll move.
Moved by Legislator Litt, seconded by Legislator McCullough. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution number 339 passes unanimously. Resolution number 340, approving the execution of a contract for $138,350 entered into by the county with Bergman Associates, Architects, Engineers, Landscape Architects and Surveyors, DPC, Department of Public Works. And this is for a new stormwater drainage system on Zanuck Road in the town of Hurley.
County Road.
Zanuck? Is that how we say it?
Yeah,
Zanhook. Is everybody saying the same thing? It's a Dutch word, I guess. some variations allowed. Any discussion? Moved by Legislator Litz? Seconded by Legislator Donaldson? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. That brings us to the end of the resolutions that are in front of us. I'll just mention that resolution number 356 establishing a policy requiring consideration of use of hemp insulation in certain Ulster County capital construction projects was postponed in Energy and Environment Committee, and I did speak with Legislator Hewitt, the sponsor, just prior to this meeting, and he anticipates bringing a fairly substantially revised resolution forward. Our discussion was that hemp insulation may be of equal value and cheaper and better for the environment, but many other kinds of insulation are available, and that perhaps we should have a policy that points us towards addressing certain kinds of considerations, including carbon footprint and cost and durability, things that may be implicitly already being used in those decisions. But the thought was that we would like to move towards materials that have a lower carbon footprint if they are of equal value, essentially, if other considerations being largely equal. So,
but that policy would only be for county-funded projects, right?
That's correct.
Because federal and state, you're not allowed to put those types of requirements in their contracts.
That's my understanding as well. There are mechanisms for putting new materials on the lists that then can be used by highway departments and various contracts. And so it may be true for the building contracts as well. It'd be good for us to look into that. But even if it's just starting with county projects, that sends a signal to the market that they're, you know, we're sometimes a fairly substantial purchaser. And if these materials are beneficial, then I would want us to take up the task of changing the yeah. state and federal lists.
So it would behoove the suppliers of this material to go to the state and the federal government to get on their approved list.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not allowed to utilize items that are not on an approved list.
For those types of projects.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that the sponsor of the resolution and some of the entrepreneurs that are bringing these things forward would welcome that suggestion.
I just wanted to add, because I made this comment there at Energy and Environment on the discussion on this resolution, and particularly because there are some newer legislative members here at this committee, that historically the legislature has passed resolutions regarding procurement of certain types of materials. Years back, it goes to green cleaning products, paints, et cetera, and many other areas. And that there is a checklist that is used for capital projects that it's helped to use to review any project if you think it's applicable to the project. There's also a green building standard for new construction that is also was legislatively required for new buildings with the county. So it's another way of reviewing the materials that are used in projects and in the overall, which is very specific to a certain type of insulation. So there was also a big discussion, I think, regarding the various ways that you can achieve or look for sustainable material to use. But kind of within the larger context of reviewing.
If you haven't yet, would you send that to Legislator Hewitt? Both in his role as the sponsor of this and his role as chair of Energy, Environment, and Sustainability. And if you want to copy me at the county address on that, that would be great. And if anybody else wants to see it, maybe it seems like the whole committee here would like to see it. So if you want to send it to Michael, he'll get it out to us. Is there any new business?
I have a question.
Yes.
When it comes to paratransit, how do those folks
How can they be included in the nature bus?
So I would just suggest folks calling ahead.
Okay.
There are a certain number of paratransit riders that could be accommodated on the nature bus. They should call ahead just that way. We can also make sure that their destination is appropriate for them as well, because there's kind of a variety of destinations where we're going. A lot of them are accessible to folks who perhaps are in a wheelchair. However, it would be good just to ensure that they have a good experience once they get on the trip. They should feel free to call dispatch so they can talk through those issues. Absolutely.
Great.
Another one.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Is there signage? I didn't see any on the bus regarding vaping, open containers.
I believe so, but we can double check on that, because that's part of the standards of conduct for certain.
I rode the bus Saturday, and people were talking, and I listened. I have a notebook, and they mentioned that. Space is an issue when people go grocery shopping with shopping carts and baby carriages, and then the bike rack only has a certain amount of spots, and then people bringing bikes on the bus. I don't know.
There are certainly certain routes that are more utilized than others. For example, the Kingston-Saugerties route is one that's often pretty full. Again, we're in the middle of the route optimization study and looking at how do we effectively serve folks trying to get from one place to another. And in that particular instance, I would tend to think it's the heaviest utilized route by far as that Kingston-Saugerties route, and perhaps there's a way to rearrange routes so that there's additional service. Not so much congestion on the bus.
Okay, what do you mean? At what point are the buses, I know they clean the outside, does that happen during the route or after the end of the day?
I believe it's when the driver brings the bus back that there's like a checklist for when the driver comes back and they're responsible for the bus. But I can check.
Does that include inside?
I believe so.
Okay.
But if there's an issue, please, feel free to let me know. And also, if we want, I know that the drivers have a checklist that they do have to take care of their bus, but I can get some more details on it.
Okay. One last one. It's just that when people ask me things, I want to bring it to the table, get the answers for them. Most of them are probably watching so they can get the answers for them. So, this might be obvious, but Narcan made it onto the buses?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, great. That's great. I think that's it for now.
And we have a tracking system now for, training, and also which buses it's on, as well as a way for the bus drivers to report if it was used or it was no longer part of the kit that they have on the bus, so that they can report that so it can be replenished.
Two more. It was also said that some buses have Wi-Fi, some doesn't. But it was brought to my attention that some people may, the Wi-Fi, something may mess with their health or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's new to me, but it's possible. Somebody says that it bothers their health. I believe them. Maybe they can get doctor's note, maybe, and they could be part of paratransit?
That one I'll have to research.
I can assume that there are people who describe electromagnetic sensitivity, and I've read some of the studies on it. I think that overall it's hard to show that there is an impact. But for some individuals, it does seem reproducible in ways that, makes it a problem for them. And yet, for others to have the Wi-Fi access while they're on the bus is the priority. I think the suggestion of maybe a doctor's diagnosis, so that we could see if there would be a qualification for paratransit where there's probably not Wi-Fi or it could be turned off and not affect anybody else, might be a good resolution there. It's not a widely accepted diagnosis, but it's an increasingly accepted diagnosis, as would be how I would put it.
Lastly, Prof.
We can come back to you if you like.
Okay.
Legislator Litz.
Oh, wait, I got it.
Yeah.
Sorry. You can ask that one. The Transportation Advisory Group, have applications been coming in for people that would like to
join? I have an update on that. Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to bring it up.
Is that old business?
It is old business in the sense that it's carried over from 2023, but it's new in that I haven't really discussed it here. So
let him ask his question.
Then we'll come back to that as we're going to some of the other updates.
Earlier discussion. When do we anticipate the study to be done?
The route optimization.
Yeah.
It's closer to year end. They're in the middle of it. They're doing public.
So 6 months away? There's your answer.
And the study, they're looking at each bus route to see what the redundancy is, and maybe we can...
Short answer, yes.
Long answer.
They look at the whole system. They look at ridership. Okay. They look at the routes. There's outreach to hear from folks about where the bus did go and some other ways to do some analysis around that, and then look at the resources and the buses and the drivers that we have ability to use, and then look at how effectively are we delivering people from one place to another, minimizing our costs and time.
Last one. I'm concerned about people traveling on Sundays. Very limited service. Very limited. There's people who work on Sundays. There's people who like to go to church or visit family. Maybe that could be part of the studies or expanded routes.
There's a survey out right now for route optimization. We can recirculate that to the committee so you can share it with the public.
Okay.
It's important to hear from folks about not only, we can look at the data and see how people are using the bus when we're running bus service. It's important to hear from them through the survey about what we're not doing, because we can't look at the data in order to get our hands around it.
Because there's no data.
Right.
So this would be very good, I think, to recirculate. I mean, the way you optimize the route is by having as many stakeholders as possible tell you what's needed, and that then you get a much better result as you're doing the study. The more input you have, the more participation you have from the public.
I'm done. Thank you.
Legislator Litz?
Are you sure?
Yeah. Okay.
Did you have something else?
Yes. 153 South Riverside Road. There's a cross culvert under the county road that accepts water from a town road and then another county road or whatever.
What town is that in?
Town of Lloyd.
Town of Lloyd. Thank you.
It's partially, if not mostly, plugged. So on a heavy rain event, it doesn't take the water, so the water runs across the road and across this gentleman's drive and is eroding his property. He's been out there trying to clean it, but he's 94 years old, trying to clean a culvert that belongs to the county. Send somebody to clean the culvert, will you please? 153 South Riverside Road.
And Lloyd, thank you. Legislator McCullough brought up the Transit Riders and Intermodal Advisory Committee, and this was a committee that was established by Resolution Number 426 in the September of 2023. I forget, I think it was passed later than that. But at the end of last year, when Legislator Petit, Laura Petit, was chair of this committee, and there was a notice sent out, and there were some applications. And then with the changing of, I don't want to call us the guard, but as new legislators came in and new committee assignments came in, I did not pick this up and jump in right away to ask the chair of the legislature to establish this committee. The committee is supposed to, is resolved to consist of 13 members, one legislator appointed by the majority leader, one legislator appointed by the minority leader, and the remaining 11 members subject to confirmation by the legislature, to include seven at-large membership who use the public transportation system, and four from community and or philanthropic organizations such as paratransit, trails, bike safety, who advocate for people in need of public transportation. So I will be working with the legislative clerk to make sure if we have applications from all those different constituencies, and this is the Transit Riders and Intermodal Advisory Committee. It's mainly the public transit system. We'd be looking for a legislator to be two legislators to be appointed to this committee. This is different than the Ulster and Delaware Corridor Advisory Committee, which is also going to be appointed very soon. So I just wanted to make that announcement. We will likely send out a notice again, though we're 6 months out. I don't know if those who previously applied are still interested. We'll contact them and see if we can get this advisory committee established. And it's my apologies to the communities that I didn't take action on this sooner, but we'll make reparation for that. We'll get going on it. And a lot of these questions that Legislator McCullough has been bringing would have been issues that would have come to us from such a group. So I appreciate your helping to fill that gap while we have not yet formed that committee. Any other new business? Just a couple of items of old business. In regard to the Catskill Mountain Railroad and its air quality monitoring, the county has received word from the CMRR that they have switched to 100% biodiesel that they're purchasing from a soy farm in New York State, and that is much less, creates far fewer toxic contaminants than the diesel fuel that they had previously been running. And they appear to be, as best I can tell from what they've said, running 100% biodiesel. I couldn't find much on 100% biodiesel. You do get with 20% or 50% biodiesel reductions in carbon monoxide and particulate matter. None of those blends caused a reduction in nitrous oxides. And I wouldn't expect 100% biodiesel to reduce nitrous oxides, because nitrous oxides are caused by the actual process of combustion. When you burn something, if you have oxygen in the air, which you need in order to have it burn, the combustion, oxygen and nitrogen in the air produce the nitrous oxides of various forms, the NOx. So though the CMRR has touted itself as, you know, making a big step forward in terms of the environment, there is still a concern here. There is a type of catalytic converter, the BAT, B-A-T-T converter that the CMRR has mentioned in the past, that would burn, take care of those nitrous oxides to a large extent. So if they're planning to do that, that would be one approach to dealing with the remaining known contaminants from their activities. The other would be air filtering, which I think is the best approach, because whatever's happening with an engine, that's going to help keep those indoor cabins clean, or and repeat monitoring. I think that even though they've changed to something that we anticipate to be much better than diesel, we should have them redo their monitoring. And we, as far as I understand, the county's still looking for someone to help with the analysis. I was going to reach out to the health department at the suggestion of legislator Green to see if they have anybody. I don't know of anybody at the health department who does air quality work, but perhaps.
Who do you contact?
At SUNY Albany. Okay, great. So we'll expect that you will coordinate, and it might be worth having the SUNY Albany folks look at the prior monitoring so that we know what they think of that, and if there needs to be any adjustment in the placement of the monitors or anything like that. And then when we get the repeat studies, they will be able to help us understand how much benefit there has been. There's also been, in regard to the CMRR, a request for documents from Brendan Masterson to complete their file on the leases that they have in regard to properties that they use for various purposes or propose to use for various purposes. Is that a fair statement? And as far as I'm aware, the question about the waiver from the to allow use of herbicides was declined, then there was a request for reconsideration and has been declined again. And so that is where that stands. So for this season, the CMRR was instructed not to use herbicides, just as other companies throughout the county do not use herbicides on county property. The CMRR has been reported to have used herbicides on the property that they are leasing in the undesignated section. And there's correspondence between the county and the CMRR about that activity, which the CMRR thinks was justified and the county thinks was not justified. And as I mentioned earlier, the there is the expected announcement of a Ulster and Delaware Corridor Advisory Committee. That committee will be constituted to look at policy for the, especially the undesignated section, but any sections of the Ulster and Delaware corridor. It is not my understanding that, it was not in the resolution, that that committee would look at these kind of issues. So these kind of issues will continue to be addressed by this committee and the Energy and Environment Committee in cooperation with the County Executive's Office, particularly Deputy Executive Laval and Deputy Executive Planning Director Doyle. Is that a good summary? Good. That's how I got in my own head, so I'm hoping that that's good enough. Any questions about that? Okay, I'll also have on old business to get in touch with the Agricultural Society. I've not done that. Could you help get me contact information for who I should be speaking with? I have heard again that the Ag Society has been having conversations with others, which is fine, but I thought they were supposed to come here. So either I need to, you know, be informed of a change, or we need to be in that circle.
I think we need to revisit that resolution, because there's supposed to be a meeting every September. And that has not taken place. There was a quasi meeting with the county executive, but we have to revisit that resolution to see who was supposed to be at that meeting.
That sounds good. Let's do that. And also, I think one meeting a year is not enough, in my opinion. And my understanding is that the Agricultural Society has gone to, over the past couple of years, this committee, economic development, energy and environment, and I think that makes sense because there's various concerns for each of those committees, but maybe we should have a point of contact that's clearer.
I just wanted to clarify that the meeting was, I think the Agricultural Society had reached out to the chair of the legislature's office.
Oh, that's, yes.
It was, I did attend that as representing the county executive's office. However, there was outreach to the chair. And I believe the meeting and quite a few other reporting requirements, annual reporting requirements, are contained in the contract. So I don't know if there's additional or language in the resolution, but it certainly...
I think it states that they shall meet a minimum, but they shall meet the second week or third week of September is a designated time slot. And then whatever else you need it, but that minimum of one meeting a year.
And that would be after the annual fair, and so it would allow a debriefing.
And that's why they picked that date, because a month after the fair, they got a pretty good handle on their numbers and what their attendance was and what needs they have and lessons learned and those types of things. So.
Could we ask you to circulate to the committee the resolution and the contract that the Ag Society is working under?
And I would just state there was certainly at the meeting with the legislative chair, there's going to be another follow-up meeting, and the Ag Society is going to provide a reporting that's also required in the contract, and it's going to put everyone back on schedule for those regular September meetings. So that was certainly discussed, and that was certainly the goal there, was to get into the cadence of the reporting and meetings.
Great. And also had under old business update on the bus shelters, but that comes after the transit study? Or the route optimization study?
We reach out to all the municipalities regarding bus shelters. We did not have a robust response at all regarding bus shelters. So we are in the process of reevaluating our strategy there, and we'll likely be going, instead of doing what we did, which was asking, the municipalities where they would like bus shelters, and if they would like them, we are going to look at some high use corridors, places where drivers know that folks are waiting for buses, etc., and put that list together and then reach out to the municipalities for that.
That makes more sense to me in some ways. So,
but then the municipality still has to maintain them?
Yes. However,
which is probably why you're not getting too many tickets.
Mm-hmm. However, I think we want to give a range of options for bus shelters, so perhaps ones that perhaps maintain.
Could you say that again? Some alternatives that didn't require much maintenance?
I think the more advanced bus shelters with charging and things like that may have been
intimidating.
Yes. So I think we need to have a range of options that suit with municipalities to be able to comfortable.
All right, that sounds good. So. So you'll bring that back to us when you've had some progress in terms of what your next steps are going to be.
Yeah.
All right. I think that would cover my list. A good amount of work.
Okay.
Old business?
Old business.
Several months ago, I brought up the issues on Union Center Road.
Yes, I thought that had been resolved.
I thought so, too. It was mentioned that the shoulder backup was done and all of these things were done, and they haven't been done. So I would like to have a formal report out next meeting on what's going on with the culverts and whether the pavement edge has been backed up, because one of the constituents in the area fell off the drop-off and broke her elbow. So we really need, and there are places that it's in excess of a foot, and all you have to do is get your tire over the edge and it sucks you right off into nowhere land. So it really needs to be backed up.
Can I comment on
it? Sure.
It's scheduled to be done. Our machine that does the shoulders, it's being repaired right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's dual side. Dual mm-hmm. sides. We always use the one side.
Mm-hmm.
It has worn out, so we're swapping it to the other side.
Okay.
Because it's brand new, we never did it on the other side. So they're doing that now. Union Center is the first road.
Okay, good. They're going to keep shared them. Services. Borrow the state one. They have one that works very well. I mean, just borrow it for a couple of days. But it really needs to be done. That's dangerous. And it's been hanging out there since last year. It's over a year. So we've been very lucky that there's only been one person or two people. Somebody ran off the road, but whatever. But it really needs to be looked at and fixed and taken care of.
And just to be clear, in order to do a loan like that, we would have to have a formal shared services agreement, which we probably do not have.
There is a law. I mean, in shared services, you can borrow equipment.
And, yeah.
I mean, towns borrow.
You already have some agreement that would cover that?
Yeah.
No. So that's a good suggestion.
Right. Matter of fact, the one that is in the law, but nobody cares to use it is cemeteries.
Huh.
A cemetery can ask the town, the county, the state to give aid to the cemetery to cut trees, to put pavement down, or whatever under shared services. But they usually don't get a lot of help.
Well, maybe those who are listening can mention it to your municipalities that if you have a cemetery in your municipality, you may qualify for some of this help.
Town of Lloyd has stepped up. They've helped with surfacing in the cemetery, and they don't take trees down, but they will come with the chipper and chip up the stuff. So it's been helpful.
Yeah, I think that the cemeteries in Shandaken receive that kind of assistance as well. So maybe it is out there, but good to know. Anything else under either new or old business?
Ultramoney Road, any update on that project?
Yes. Still in design. Construction is due in 25. They are proposing, the A&E firm is proposing vertical micro piles with horizontal tiebacks. So the land, as described to me, the land is shifting, but it's not shifting to the riverside. It's actually almost sinking there. It's not really shifting out.
Mm-hmm.
So what they want to do is they want to stabilize it and keep it as one solid.
It's so kind of like a ridge right now between the riverside and the swamp.
Yeah, it's a tricky, it's all because of, it's all clay.
It is all
clay. So it's, the clay is slipping.
And when in 2025?
It's still in design. We have to approve the design. We're hoping it will be, it has to go out to bid.
Yeah, so you're working on it now with the design phase and then bid. And then once the bid come in, then the construction would be planned probably for the
It's 5 years.
Summer 2025.
Yeah, spring or summer.
Spring or summer.
Thank you.
Good. Anything else?
Hearing none, I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Is there a second? Legislator McCullough. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We are unanimously approved to adjourn. Thank you, everybody. A lot of good.